Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, Rachel.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
I'm feeling flirty this episode.
See, this is an unfair advantage you have.
Why is that?
Whenever you make some kind of content in the morning,
yeah. You
come into the studio like super jazzed, and I'm like, oh, hi. I also make podcasts.
You know, we're recording this right after me and the bros stream some Fortnite, and so like situational awareness, my reflexes, my competitive instinct, honestly, are at their absolute zenith right now.
I know. It's so weird energy to bring to a podcast with your lover.
It could be fun, right? You need to be able to harness it.
Oh,
like, do you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I'm going to bring this energy no matter what. I can't not put it all out there, like on the field 100% of the time. So I guess it's your responsibility to harness the lightning.
I don't think, isn't it notoriously hard to do that?
To harness lightning?
Yeah.
Ben Franklin did it with a freaking key.
Okay.
Back in the caveman times. It's a wonderful show. We talk about things that we like, things that are good, things that we are into, things that make us feel things for once.
Wow.
In our lives. Do you have one? Do you have a small wonder?
Oh, man. I just like the neighborly hospitality we've experienced.
Outrageous.
Like, we have never lived anywhere where we have known our neighbors. And we always took responsibility for that. We're not going out and introducing ourselves.
Yes.
Like, we're not being friendly enough. We didn't realize there are communities where the neighbors come to you.
They come to you and they bring you cookies and baked goods. And it's good. It's
and
great.
And like willingly give their contact information. Like, here, I know I just introduced myself, but here's how you can reach me at any time.
Yeah.
It's been incredible.
It's been really fun. Our neighborhood absolutely kicks ass. I'm ba-da-ba-ba-ba loving it. What do I got? I don't know that I have. I've been writing a bunch of music again for Taz for this new season that Justin's running, Steeplechase. And I am exploring some new genres and a lot of brass work.
Uh-huh.
And I am head over heels. I'm having so much fun with it.
How do you know, as somebody who does not compose music, I'm curious how you know when you're finished?
I mean, I've been doing it for a while, and so for me,
it seems like you could tinker forever.
Yeah, it comes down to like recognizing when I'm approaching the point of like overcrowding the song,
yeah,
and honestly,
okay.
Usually I will remove an element or two at that point, and then just try to polish up what's already there so that it sounds like the best it possibly can.
Yeah.
Which was not anything I ever did until a couple of years ago, I think. I did that monthly class about music production with, I think, Andrew Huang, learned about like, you know, mastering and, you know, actually balancing out the audio for all your different tracks and stuff like that. So I don't know. Since I learned that, I kind of have just a few core components that I know go in every song, and then I'll add a little splash here and there, and then I'll try and stop. But yeah, it's a totally new genre that I've not messed with before, and it's so much fun to goof around with. And I think that season's going to start next month, so you'll hear it sooner rather than later, because we're more than halfway through September.
Wild. Yeah, I know, right?
Wild. You go first this week. What do you got?
So this is something that I'm sure we have talked about in various capacities, but to my knowledge, we have not done an entire segment on it.
Okay.
And thank you to the folks that run wonderful.fyi, because as of this morning, it was updated.
Thank you all. We
last
really
week we were
like,
what's
you?
Going on? And then, man, they like little elves just
well,
right away.
That's a pretty
okay. Like magical.
Like magical artists.
Yes.
Data artists.
So thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
It gave me confidence to talk about my topic this week, which is breakfast.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. The meal or the genre, right? Because
it's a little of both,
okay,
right?
Okay.
Like, for me, I don't eat a substantial breakfast every day. Some days I skip it entirely. But I will say, like, the weekends, I get really excited.
That's breakfast country,
baby. Yeah. I get really excited when it's like I have time to dedicate to the art of breakfast today. And then also the food, man. So much of it.
There's a lot of it.
I love a bagel.
Yeah.
I also like a heavier, like, bacon and egg situation.
I love a farmer's breakfast.
I love, like, a yogurt with a granola and a cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I'm into. I've gotten really into toast.
You drug that out just long enough that I thought you were to say toes for a second.
I've gotten really into toast. I mean, there was that one, like, 4-month period when I was living in Chicago and was just sick to my stomach every day for some mystery reason I never solved, and I just ate toast a lot, and so my love affair really began there. But I've just had so much good toast.
What are you putting on toast?
Jam. Strawberry jam for the most part.
Huh.
Or if I'm having egg, am I having meat, I like a toast there with it too, to kind of be like a little, like a barge that like all the other breakfast friends can ride on.
Or like an extra utensil, you know?
Or like an extra utensil.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's just fun.
Uh-huh. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, just kind of the whole concept of breakfast, specifically in like the Western sense.
Okay.
Because as anyone who has traveled significantly will realize, like, people do breakfast different ways.
In wildly different ways.
All over the world. Like,
for sure.
Americans are pretty different, I would say, than most of the world when it comes to breakfast. So is breakfast the most important meal of the day? What do you think?
No.
Yeah, that's true. It was apparently started in 1960s. There was an American nutritionist that suggested to be healthy, one should, quote, eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper.
Yeah. They say that on UID. Like, they say that on UID, dude. Yeah. And I have been saying it for almost a decade now.
I'd never heard that expression before.
I didn't know the origins of it. I just knew that they said that nonstop. That's funny that that's where that comes from.
Mostly when they've done research to figure out, like, how important is breakfast, the only thing they can really say is that a lot of people that skip a meal miss out on nutrients.
Are you telling me that the person who said the thing about breakfast like a king, etc., was a nutritionist? Who was like, that seems like a wild, wild statement for somebody who is, like, a nutrition expert to say, right?
Well, I mean, I think the idea generally is that, like, your meal should be of decreasing size as the day goes on. Which is not an unusual concept.
It is to me. Dinner's great. Are you kidding me?
But eating, as you know, eating a big, heavy meal before you go to sleep is not always the best thing for your body.
No. I mean, it gives me the nightmares, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not, like, hitting up Applebee's and getting their big skillets, like, every weeknight, you know?
That is true in the sense, like, when I was reading about it, a lot more people are willing to minimize breakfast than dinner. Dinner's like where you really are. You're like looking forward to the big, the pomp and circumstance.
My 5 p.m. hungry, like, so far outweighs my, like, 10:30 a.m. hungry. Like, it is not even close. I think it's because I know that lunch is right there. I had a little breakfast this morning at like 7. And it's a good 4.5 hours after that. I'm pretty hungry, but I also know that my friend lunch.
Yeah, that's true.
My friend lunch is coming.
That's true. but we're not here to talk about lunch, Griffin.
Yeah, fuck lunch.
Okay, so basically, go ahead, skip breakfast, but make sure you're getting your...
I mean, eat breakfast, but do what you want to do. We're not going to tell you to skip breakfast.
Well,
you hear talking about breakfast.
In the studies, the people that skip breakfast often fall short on things like folate, calcium, iron, and then your various vitamins A, B,
C, D. Dude, breakfast is also fiber time, baby. You're missing out on premium fiber, like, journeys that you could be going on in the morning.
Yeah, so that's anyone that's listened to Sawbones in particular would be familiar with Kellogg, who started the whole idea of cereal, and it was like, basically this really ridiculous kind of Puritan notion of, like, people should be eating bland food to help their digestion.
Yeah,
like to keep their thoughts
away
from
spiritual
impurity.
Colonic experience. Yeah, for sure.
But I was interested in bacon. I didn't really realize the kind of the marketing approach of bacon.
Huh. Yeah.
Because you picture it as this like farm, like you said, like a farm breakfast. Like people that were going to go like out and do work early in the morning would have these big, heavy breakfasts.
Right.
But it was actually 1920s Beechnut Packing Company wanted to get more people to eat bacon. Beechnut was a producer of chewing gum, peanut butter, and ham. you know, your favorite pairing.
What you got in your lunch today? Looks like chewing gum, peanut butter, and ham.
And then the song, you know, chewing gum, peanut butter, and ham.
You put it all together and you mix it all. Did you forget the...
Yeah,
I can't... You put it all together and you mix it all up and you grab that spoon from... Just forget it.
So they hired a PR consultant who basically suggested that a heavy breakfast would be healthier because the body loses energy during the night and needs it during the day.
Okay.
They spread it out all over newspapers, and everybody was like, oh, man, that makes sense to me. So eggs and bacon it is.
Yeah.
It's also, there's a focus on food that you can make quickly in the morning, which, I mean...
Bacon is not that, I don't think.
Well,
if you want to do it right, you know, it takes a little bit of doing.
You can use one pan, though, right? Like, there's not mixing bowls necessarily. Like, you can just dump everything in the pan and cook it. But so when we get to the small breakfast, we're talking Industrial Revolution. People don't have time.
Sure.
That's when you start to get into your yogurts and your granola bars and your cereals.
Yeah.
In a big way. Which is true also because you don't want a lot of dishes. Like, if everybody's going to work, you don't want to have a lot of dishes to clean up. That's a big reason that I don't make a bigger breakfast during the week is that I don't want to leave all that stuff sitting, and I certainly don't want to do the dishes in the morning.
Yeah.
Breakfast food as a concept is kind of like a luxury, and you see that more in the West of the fancy frilly French toasts and donuts. Mostly throughout the world, you're just eating kind of what you would eat at any other meal of the day.
Yeah. I remember that threw me the first time I went to Japan.
Yeah.
And it was, although Japan also has or at least in Tokyo and, you know, the cities that we actually traveled to, has a big cafe culture with a pretty wild array of tall pancakes and other delicious baked goods that I usually availed myself of. Because I don't, it's weird to me to not have breakfast food at breakfast time. I don't know why. I can't really.
Well, it's just
I eat breakfast at dinner time sometimes. I don't know why I'm so choosy. Sure. I remember when I went to Cologne, Germany, I was staying at this hostel hotel situation. And we came downstairs the first morning we had stayed the night and came downstairs and they were advertising Frühstück. And I was like, what? But that means breakfast in German. That was how I learned about that, about my good friend Russ Breakfast.
I don't have a whole lot more to say about breakfast. I will just say that I tend to prefer savory, just generally.
Yeah.
You know, when avocado toast hit the world, I was like, yes, that's for me.
Yeah.
But I will also say French toast, pancake, waffle. I really can't complain about a particular breakfast food of any kind.
I bet you could if you really thought about it.
Yeah, but that's not what we do.
Eggs Benedict is way too... There,
oh, I love that, though.
There's breakfast foods that I cannot rectify how shitty I feel after I eat
them. Yeah. I mean, biscuits and gravy, I love, but that's your whole day.
That is. That's a dinner food for me because then, you know, you can just sort of lay down. And you're done. You can be done.
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
Uh-huh.
You can't do that at, you know, 9 a.m. But 9 o'clock at night, you just lay down and it's like, this is where I stop today.
Yeah.
The day is over.
I think it's good, too, because as I mentioned during the week, you know, I like a more elaborate breakfast on the weekends. And then during the week, we always have to remind ourselves, you know what we could have for dinner?
breakfast.
It's like always like a novelty. Yeah. It's very exciting.
Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey there, beautiful people. I'm Travell Anderson.
And I'm Jared Hill. We are the hosts of Fantai, the show where we have complex and complicado conversations about the gray areas in our lives, the things that we really, really love sometimes, but also have some problematic feelings about.
Yes, we get into it all. You want to know our thoughts about Nicki Minaj and all her foolishness? We got you. You want to know our thoughts about gentrification and perhaps some positive aspects of gentrification? We get into that too. Every single Thursday, you can check us out at MaximumFun.org. Listen, you know you want it, honey, so come on and get it. Period.
Oh my gosh, hi. I'm Dave Holmes, host of the pop culture trivia podcast, Troubled Waters. On Troubled Waters, we play games like motivational speeches. It goes a little like this. Riley, give us an improvised motivational speech on why people should listen and subscribe to Troubled Waters.
I look around this ad and I see a lot of potential to listen to comedians such as Jackie Johnson and Josh Gondelman, and they need you to get out there and listen to them attempt to figure out sound rebus clues or determine if something is a Game of Thrones character or a city in Wales.
I have chills. I'm going to give you 15 points. All that and so much more on Troubled Waters. Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you choose to listen to podcasts.
I want to talk about local parades. This past weekend, we went up to beautiful Poolsville, Maryland, where we have some friends. It's like a 40-minute drive from the city of Washington, D.C. And they were having the Poolsville Day celebration there. And we visited some friends, hung out with them, and went to their parade and wild sort of after party with any number of inflatable activities and food trucks and stuff. And it was just the best.
This parade was so well constructed. It was like a feature film. Like it started...
It had a narrative arc.
Yes, it started very mildly.
Yes.
You know, and we had promised Henry lots of candy.
Sure.
I was expecting marching bands. You know, I was expecting, you know, the things of a parade. Because our access to parades recently has... They've been very short.
Very short, fly by night.
It's very jam-packed. It's like, here are the seven things you'll see in a parade. They're all in a row, and now the parade's over.
This was like, they had like a procession of fire vehicles that lasted maybe 10 minutes.
This parade got progressively better and then finished with what I think you should...
I'll talk about it. I've got a breakdown of the Poolsville Day Parade because I know people are on Tinder hooks.
Okay.
Did you grow up like with local parades in
St.
Louis?
Yes.
I know the Blues would like come out pretty hard whenever they had a good season, right?
They weren't a very good team when I was younger. Okay. They had incredible players, but did not make it very far.
Oh, okay. No reason for a parade.
I'm talking specifically the parade that I grew up with was the 4th of July parade in Webster Groves, Missouri. And this is the kind of parade where people will put their folding chair out in their spot and leave it there for 24 hours or more.
God,
so,
I love that.
So it was the kind of thing where if the parade was on a, I can't remember if it was on a Saturday or a Sunday, but you'd put that chair out like on Friday night and there was just a respect to it. Kind of like parking in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like you put that, you know, sitting situation where it's going to be and people leave it and they understand that it is yours.
Yeah.
And I, as listeners know, was in a marching band and did quite a bit of parade marching.
Yes. I did a lot of parade float riding for WTCR.
Oh, yeah.
I also worked a few parades as my bovine fursona, Cowabunga, the WTCR cow
did
mascot.
Did you have the opportunity to throw out much candy?
Yeah. So the big one for our area was the Ironton Memorial Day Parade. Huntington had some parades too, but the Ironton Memorial Day Parade was always a big to-do. And we would always usually be in it with one of whatever radio station Dad was working for at the time. So I did a lot of chucking candy out.
You know what I thought a lot about? Because everybody in this parade we went to was throwing out Tootsie Rolls. And I thought, like, what is that? And then I thought, like, oh, it's a softer candy.
The ballistic properties of a
it's
Tootsie
durable.
Roll.
It's durable. Yeah. It doesn't melt. And if you get hit by it, you're okay.
Yeah. There were some, I would say, over-eager athletes, for the most part, who really hummed some candy at us and our infant son.
The street was not wide. There was no
need. Not very wide. They were really, really launching them. I am, like, way off my notes. I love a big parade, too. Like, I love a Rose Bowl with all the floats and shit and a Thanksgiving Day parade we've actually talked about on the show before. But there is an enchanting kind of charm to the local parade of seeing what a community thinks is noteworthy about itself and then how it kind of features that in parade format. Like, also the candy is also very good. We love getting Henry involved in, like, community events because I think there's a lot of enrichment that comes from that, but he doesn't, they're boring for the most part, but when they're throwing candy at you, like, it's exciting and scary, and you really have to keep your wits about you. So yeah, you get your local departments, your fire and police, and I don't think I've ever seen an ambulance. Actually, there was an ambulance
there
at the parade because
they
had to stop and bust down an oxygen tank for somebody, which was, like, I don't know, it felt staged to me, but probably not. And then
What was fascinating to me, too, is when people disrupt the flow of a parade, like, this neighborhood was so close-knit that occasionally people would walk by, and watchers would just wander into the street and have a conversation.
And would become parade for a second.
It's like, oh, hey, it's Bill! And then they'd, like, walk out into the parade. And I was so aghast. I was like, but this is a parade.
Respect the perimeter of the
what
parade,
are you doing?
Please. You get your the whole, like, sort of school category of, like, like, teams that have had maybe a victorious season. You get marching bands, which I will watch any marching band all day, every day.
Always good.
Just tell me where to go to watch the marching band, and I will always be there.
I like
there.
A drill team, too.
A drill team, absolutely. And then you get, like, weird shit, which is, like, every local parade has to have something in it at some point that's, like, oh, that's, why is that there? For Poolsville had quite a few. They had, a haunted house that had, like, a nightmare clown and living dolls and shit that, like, ran up and tried to scare the kids, which was okay. But then at one point, the Batmobile came through with Batman and Robin and Catwoman and Penguin, and that was excellent. And then for whatever reason, I think the very last thing in the parade was two adult men in souped-up go-karts dressed as Mario and Luigi, who were, like, Tokyo drifting, like, pretty close to our children, like, pretty fast and pretty close to the children. And I got a great video of, like, Mario just, like, stunting on Henry. And then Henry turns and looks at me and goes, Mamma mia.
I got to see that video. I was chasing Gus down at that point in the parade.
That was choice.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. I don't really know what is involved in getting a position in the parade because, I mean, one, I haven't been a watcher for most of them. I was in most of them as a member of the band, which was just kind of like you didn't have to jockey for position.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot of people, like, they've got their classic car and they just roll up and say, hey, I would like to be
I'm
in the
it
parade.
Now. Look at my car. It's so old.
But I don't really understand how that works.
I don't either. I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the parade that we threw in Huntington, West Virginia for Spiders for the McGoon Band TV show.
Yeah. How did that work? I guess you didn't
have
to do it.
We had producers on the TV show who they figured it out. I mean, we've been to some great, I've been to a lot of great parades in my life. One time we were in New York in June and just, like, walked outside and the Pride Parade was, like, right outside. And we're like, holy shit.
Incredible.
And we just, like, hung out for a couple hours and watched the Pride Parade, and, like, danced with the kids. And, like, it was the best.
Yeah.
I think that's more of an iconic sort of thing than than the type of local parade that I'm describing. Yeah. I just think there's something so delightful about them. I think there's something so neat about a community kind of like putting parts of itself up on a pedestal like that. And then seeing like how the people who are now sort of foisted into the spotlight, like, deal with this extremely short-lived fame. Because I'll tell you, being, like, up in the TCR truck and, like, chucking candy and waving and smiling, you have to be on for, like, the whole parade.
Yeah.
You get tired. It's exhausting by the end of it.
I bet. I was really interested, too, in how people portion candy. Because we were at a point in the route that I think was kind of in the middle. I don't know. Do you have a sense of where we were? Maybe we were more towards the end.
No idea.
Anyway, it was interesting to see like how people figured out how they were going to make their candy last. And that there was definitely a lot of stingy Scrooges who walked around with a bucket and said, pick one. Yeah. Which is a very difficult concept for a young child.
Yeah. Anyway, that's local parades. I love them.
Yeah.
Go to a local parade. And thanks to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows that they have there. Just start cruising, clicking.
And listening
and subscribing to them. We have some live shows coming up very soon in San Jose and Denver, Mabim Bam and Taz. And then in November, we're going to be doing Cincinnati, Detroit, and Washington, D.C., where we are going to be opening for Mabim Bam with Wonderful in D.C. That's in November. Come see us. It's going to be a great deal of fun. I think we just announced in San Jose, Abria Iyengar is going to join us for Taz. And then in D.C., Brennan Lee Mulligan is going to come and DM Dadlands 2.0.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited about that.
Did I tell you about the gameplay innovation?
No.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you after the podcast.
Ooh.
You're gonna freak out. Anyway. That's coming up soon. bit.ly/McElroy Tours is where you can get tickets for that. We have merch over at McElroyMerch.com. And that's it. That is it. That's the last one. So thank you all. Thanks a lot. I can only describe it as like eggs hungry right now because of you.
I'm sorry.
I don't know that I've ever been eggs hungry like this.
We do have some eggs.
Oh, yeah. We do now. So I go down there like Gaston. Just whoop, big strong arms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Money won't pay.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.